Hello, welcome to the Underscore Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to a lovely Sunday day with Mr. Dayton O'Bray. I think I nailed that. Hey, Dayton, how are you?
You fucking butchered it.
Aww.
No, you're good. I'm doing awesome. Thanks. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks very much for asking. Very excited about today. Looking forward to it. Just, I'm a happy, happy boy.
These Sundays, man. Huh? Look at us. These Sundays, look at us. Who knew?
Who knew? We're going to be catching up with Dayton today, is the plan. And then we're going to be talking through some of the Idolaters stuff that came up in the FAQ, which will be cool. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Hello, everyone in the chat. Thanks for joining us. Tristan, Herminister, Diadrin, Big Goldfish. What up, Scott B? Stuart McCowan, hope you're well. Pete.
Oh.
Yeah, loads of legends.
Good
Colonel
people,
Cabbage. Man. Good people.
Pete Pratt.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. Joe PLC says, okay, part of the old points of Jam the other day. Not bad. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's... You know, that's in the world of podcasts, not bad is I'll take it.
That's pretty good. I'll tell you that. Hey to Pimper Troll Slayers, hope you well. Delva Chris, what's going on? Exciting. So, yeah, that's kind of going to be the chat today. That's what's going on. If you've got any questions or anything you want to bring up in the chat, please do. Podcast guys, thanks for listening, and I hope you're staying hydrated. Dayton, how you been? What's been going on?
Rob's been printing up some awesome terrain for gaming, and I'm making flower pots. So they're wall mounted. So that's cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, you don't have to make terrain with the 3D printers. That's not the journey we all have to be on, right?
And I printed off a bunch of those mask holders for face masks that strap in your back.
At the back.
Yeah, so it doesn't hurt your ears because I have to wear masks at work. 12 hours really hurts the ears.
Is it because you're going to make a gaming room and you're going to put some flower pots on the wall? Is this what we're seeing?
I think these are going into the bedroom and they're going to hold all the sex toys. That's my bouquet.
Oh, good. I think you're going to need a larger pot, if I'm honest, or more pots.
You know, I like to keep it small so she doesn't get any wild ideas about what the real world is like. You know, keep their expectations low.
We had a great question in the chat, and I would like to hear this. When is the part of the All Points getting a Leighton versus Dayton show? Or we can Honest Wargamer a Leighton versus Dayton show, either way.
Like, as in, like, TTS or something?
I think it's just more like Hot Topic Dayton versus Leighton.
Oh, like, Leighton has no AOS, though. It would have to be a 40K show, and that's not the podcast, unfortunately. But I'll talk 40K for days.
Hey, he's got some fat boys that he's been painting up, some Ogremore tribes.
Yeah, he hasn't really talked about them much since now codexes are rolling out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thank you to Desert Sketch for subscribing or resubscribing. Really appreciate that. Lay versus Day for a right to add to Ton to the end. Makes sense.
So how you doing, man? Like, you're doing okay? Like, you've had a busy week.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been busy. It's pretty busy all week. Yeah, good. Thanks very much for asking. I sent one of
Vince,
the printers.
Vince back. Just drained, yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, what a legend. I sent one of the printers back. I told you this just off air, so that's fun. So hopefully another one's coming. Both printers like.
You don't have to tell what goes on behind the scenes. No, tell me. Tell me about this. Having issues with one of your printers?
Yeah, wow. I mean, you do. That my general ongoing experience very quickly is resin printers a dream, super easy. FDM printers a nightmare. But like, it's not that challenging. You just gotta watch a couple of YouTube videos and just sit and fix them. And so that's nice. But I've got two of them working like dreams now, and so they're like banging out terrain. So I've just finished, or I'm just about to finish the last pieces on the Elven board, and then I'll be moving on to doing the Dwarf board, which I'm very excited about. And then the guys in the chat suggested a great show that we're gonna do next week, which I'm looking forward to, where we're going to name the bits of terrain. So part of the story. So we're going to craft the story live on air. So I'm actually really excited about that. Other than that, I played some TTS last night, got my ass whooped twice, which is pretty, I was trying to breakfast battle list out, which I did not enjoy. My list sucked a lot. I was like, yeah, because basically very much like the GME stock, I thought I'd just YOLO 6 Morghast Archai in a OCR Bone Reapers list into my opponent. Turns out it doesn't work. Doesn't work at all.
Against certain lists, yep.
I mean, against the two I played, yeah, it was it ended on turn 2 both games. So I played against an Idolaters list with which we're going to be talking about today, an Idolaters list with Iron Golems, and I also played against a Iron Jaws list, which just double turned me. Adam was just like, cool. He just threw it all in turn one and was like, killed the screen. I was like, I win turn two. I was like, sweet, let's not play turn two. There we go.
yeah, Jog Pick. I am growing the sex beard. Thank you for noticing.
Oh, nice.
This is what 5 days of growth looks like. It's pretty epic.
so yeah, that's what's been going on. Printing stuff, painting stuff, prepping shows, and that sort of other jam. So yeah, pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, good. I'm unlike you. I've had some issues with my resin printer, but just trying to figure things out. So maybe I'll try some layering heights to fix. But I mean, I still have product that's usable. I'm just doing practicing oil paints now, which are great, because I mean, if I touch it, I painted this like 2 days ago and it's still wet.
Still wet. Oh my god. No.
But the blending, let me tell you, the blending is just so much fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you watch a tutorial or something before you got started on this, or was it like?
Yeah, from the most part. But I got the miniature paint oil paints, the Abtalong 502s, and they're designed for miniatures.
Oh, okay.
It's really neat. Like you just like yeah. If you want shading, you put in like a dab of whatever darker color or lighter color, and then you just go in with a big brush and just kind of blend it in, and then it's gone. There's just no lines, but it's okay. Trying to balance it all, keep it all in its area. It makes it difficult, but no, it's
that's
neat.
Fun.
When you're printing miniatures, you don't care. You ruin it, big deal. Whatever, I'll print another one.
Kind of true.
It's not a $170 Marathi. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. everyone's favorite Italian macro Frisson JM does have an oil paints video. He is very good. I watched a couple of videos by him last week. One of the things that I've decided to do this week, actually, Dayton, just a personal one, but I'll shout out to the chat about it anyway, is I'm trying to watch less like politics videos generally. Now one of my kind of go-tos would always be watch like Stephen Colbert was always like my thing. He's a comedian who does like late stuff, but now I'm just watching like random YouTube videos. I'm like, cool, today I'm going to watch this video by this guy about this subject to do with a hobby, which I really have very rarely done. Like, I don't really tend to do that, so I'm pushing myself to go on that journey. So when I'm like doing some painting or I'm moving some stuff around or whatever I'm doing, getting the venue sorted, that's generally my kind of like scope at the minute.
I do hobby. I YouTube a lot, but like Stephen Colbert and stuff, like, of course I got to watch that. You go to your comedians for your information and you go to the news if you want to laugh. Mm-hmm. but YouTubing, I YouTube pretty hard. I watch people play games because that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to play games, but I'll have time to watch for like half hour.
Have you watched any of the Nopen coverage?
I haven't, because I've been working. Mm-hmm. I probably would have dove into it. I got a lot of people like telling me about it and stuff, but there's no standard across the table on presentation, right? They're leaving it to the presenter to do the way that they do it, and that's kind of cool, I guess, for some. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it depends on the quality, I think, yeah.
I heard TJ Lanigan smash his opponent with Magnus and Morty, so... Salamanders ain't got nothing on those two.
Absolutely nothing. And it's not, I'd just like to say, it's not because I'm not generally interested in politics as a subject. I think mainly it's because, like, I think it's a futile gesture in learning about it. And I would like to really get, like, super into, like, loads of different subjects, like hobby stuff, like oil paints and other stuff, and just generally kind of, like, upscale my learning. So I think that's one of the things that I'm most excited about. So yeah, that's it really. And then trying to organize some games. So thanks to Adam last night for organizing a couple of games with me, even though I got smashed, so that I can
Mumbered.
So I can just be like, do you know what? I'm not taking that list of the breakfast battles, which will be returning this week. So instead, I'm very excitedly, I think I might try Nighthorn out because they truly suck. So
can't you just tell Mumford not to throw that list at you anymore?
I mean,
there is a refreshing like world of AOS when Jank's not brought to the table.
There is, absolutely. I think that's one of the things I'm playing. So this week's a really exciting week on the Breakfast Battle Show. So I'll be playing Owen on Tuesday. I'll be playing Adam on Wednesday, which I'm pretty certain he's playing Spider Fang. So,
Cool.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And then I'm playing Benjamin Savar on Thursday. So it's a pretty packed week with some legends, which will be good. But yeah, I might try the Ghosty Boys. I was trying to make some janky lists last night. I achieved 0% jank. Apart from...
I have a ton of Night Hunt. They're just so good looking. But
they're great.
They're hard to work with.
I was like, should I just take 200 Spirit Hosts? Not Spirit Hosts, Chain Rasps. Which was kind of the list I eventually ended up on. There was some fun stuff. Like, I thought about taking a unit of Banshees, which are quite like those, sticking them in the Bringy Dingy, whipping them forward after giving them plus one attack from two different sources, and then healing them. So, like, with the Nightmare Lantern guy with the spell, so that I end up adding them back, basically, into the unit, if that makes sense. So, give myself, like, an 8-7-inch charge. But I was like, this is a lot of effort for not a lot of reward. So, there was a cool list I wrote where it was 12 Spirit Hosts, 2 Death Rider Battalions, and then so it had 2 black coaches, and then it had the command trait, which gets you an extra d3. So my list could return 3d3 Spirit Hosts a turn, and I was like, that's pretty good out of a brick of 12. I was like, that's pretty strong. But then I was like, that'd be so boring to watch, just this especially when they get pinned on two sides. It's just, I'm like, this sucks. So yeah, but
yeah, when bravery checks become the big wow moments in
why
your
aren't
games,
they bravery 10 they're ghosts.
I know but
what the
you
fuck
will lose them in droves.
I was reading it last night. I was like are these not even bravery 10? I was like, what the fuck is this? Honestly triggered so much. It was
you could do the big dick Alex list, which is minimal. He just runs main of like everything and rushes it forward and banks on that them activating after the charge phase. So you're fishing for those tens.
Yeah, I see that. That makes sense. I wrote
with
one that,
black coach.
Yeah, I saw one that was I wrote one that had 15 hex wraiths, and it was like, again, I gave him plus 2 attacks, and it was in Death Riders, so like a 9+ opportunity, like a 9+ would have got me like a lot.
No
of attacks.
One plays Morgul's.
Huh?
No one plays Morgul's. Colonel Cabbage. I don't know. Maybe I should start taking his advice. He smashed me with a mega Gargant list. So
yeah, maybe you should think that through.
Sons
so
of
yeah,
Bahamut, OP.
But I thought we could talk about the Idolaters, because since the FAQ came out, they've actually had like a really big update, and it was pretty horrific to play last night, if I'm 100% honest with you. So it might be worth talking about if you're interested.
Yeah, I mean, there's. Anytime you fold the game after turn 2, you know, it was just an amazing list.
I mean, the Iron Jaws wasn't an amazing list either. It was just like, cool, this is only going one way. By the way, there was a question earlier, like, why did it end turn 2? It's not necessarily that the game was like not all of my stuff was dead, but it was mechanically over from point scoring would be the situation, or being pinned in. I wasn't even necessarily certain, because he only killed... So when I played the Iron Jaws, all he did was he killed my three units of 10 Mortec Guard. I still had 6 Morghast Archai and 3 units of Stalkers, 2 Catapults as well. So I still had all of my army, basically. But he was just in my deployment on the double. And he was away from his Chanters as well, so there wasn't going to be quite as much output from all of the units. But whatever. I'll tell you what, though.
Age of Sigmar, I rarely does it go 5 turns. The 5-turn games are amazing to see, but they're not out there. Like, it's few and far between.
I actually think that's better, like, in a lot of ways. Like, what I really want is, like, I want a game of, like, positioning and movement and like, playing the game through. Like, I don't know why I would be, like, I'm not that arsed to, like, I don't need 2.5 hours of game. Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, like, that game against Colonel Cabbage that I, yes, he's bringing it up in chat. So we randomly rolled his Sons of Bahamut list, too. Like, what giants he got. We just rolled it off, and that made it to turn 2. There's a lot of lists that have a linchpin, and as soon as you lose that linchpin, that you just can't come back. So
That makes sense. Also, little quick side note. I'll be putting a video up today on Patreon, and I mean, I could play it for here at some point, or I might play it on tomorrow's show or whatever. But I did the prize draw. So these models you see behind me here, the unpainted version of these. So two walruses and an ogre that's a fisherman. Are going away, so there's a set going to someone on Patreon, not everyone. Jesus Christ, bankrupt me. And then a set going to someone from Twitch. And just in case, the person who won, there is a video. I promise you, I could play it now for you, but I'm going to put it up. So I did a prize draw, random number generated thing. So the guy that won on Patreon was a fella called Michael. That's it, no last name, so congratulations to him. And the guy that won
there's no mics out there. It's such a rare name.
But I've emailed him, so Michael, if you got the email, respond to me so I can send you these guys. And also on Twitch, it was a guy called The Stumbler. Yeah, The Stumbler. So
isn't that every Englishman after 2 o'clock in the morning?
Although your email isn't attached to your Twitch, or I don't know how to find your email, so get in touch with me, The Stumbler, so I can give it to you, basically.
See? Why not? He's a man of his words.
There we go. So that's fun. And that means with February coming up tomorrow, woohoo, there'll be a new prize draw. Like, so if you're a subscriber on Twitch or if you're a subscriber on Patreon, then you're automatically entering the prize draw as my thank you. To you guys, thank you so much. There's some very cool. I'm probably gonna do the arch villain depth. I don't know if you've seen the arch villain like sea monsters. Maybe I'm only gonna give away aquatic themed models, Dayton. But there's a really cool, like a sea captain, but he's not a sea captain. He's much bigger. He's kind of like Davy Jones, but like with coral swords. It looks.
Can you sing a sea shanty while giving him away?
Yeah, done. I'll do that just for you. I'll write myself.
2021, man. You can't predict these years anymore. It's like Vegas. You just never know what's gonna happen in your day.
Did you see that guy that did the 40K song? What's his name?
No.
Oh god. The guy that's doing this 40K Game Changers podcast. That guy.
Oh, okay. See, he's done another podcast.
He's done a song.
He's probably not bad too.
He's a good singer. this is rigged. Steve Joel, that's his name. Alright, so Idolaters, let's talk about these, shall we? Alright, so if you're playing Slaves to Darkness, Idolaters is a sub-faction that you get.
Oh, let's break it down, let's do it. You got you got some words in front of you? Or
I got some words, I'll read out to you. Is that cool for you?
Yeah, let's deep dive this.
Awesome list. do you not enjoy this?
I don't really enjoy Jank. I've never really brought it. Like, Daughters of Cain is about the closest now I'm getting to Jank. And they're getting a new book, so they'll be balanced out. Because 40K knows balance with every book that they come out with. Dark Angels, Death Guard.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Angels are super fine. Like, that's the best bit about them right now, that they're super fine. So, really happy about
that. Who needs remove one damage DR roll, or whatever it is, when you can do 3 damage Plasma and Scepters?
Right, okay. Okay, and the Terminators aren't even an issue.
Objective control Terminators with shield, storm shields. Oh, no. Awesome. What's removing that? Tell me. Morty's going in there and bouncing off. Actually, that's not true. Harlequins can remove it until you remove their aura with the spell.
You only wound on a 4+, though.
Yeah, but you can go in there with weight of numbers with troops and troop master, rerolling hits and wounds.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want things that are somehow got enough dice that can damage those toughness 4 guys with a 2+ armor save, but still only wound on 4s. That's fine. Super okay. I mean, yeah, whatever. -1 transhuman terminators are, like, to be honest, that's what we've always wanted, right? That's what we've always wanted.
But they are fixing it though with the keen words. So a lot of rerolls. Oh boy, I'm burping on air. Awesome. Those are the beers I had last night with Joe Pagano while playing them. The re-rolling now is not fails, right? So they're fixing it. So you can fish for those over 4s or 4s and betters.
100%. The other thing I'd like to point out, when you talked about Jank, right? encourage buckets of dice. That will speed up the game. Pete, I agree with you. That's what you want. Yeah.
Or
bring me the faction that's 900 dice. The point about the jank is less really to like to try to propagate it, but more make people aware of it, or maybe have a conversation about it. I think is quite fun and interesting.
You'll never get away from it.
Yeah. So
if you're going to a tournament, it's gonna come across. You got so people that are gonna know this, so just know exactly what you're playing against.
Yeah, which is why we're gonna talk about this idolaters list. I don't know
and
if you'll ever
you beat
actually
that jank. Would you beat that jank with a super cool creative list? It's good. And it's going to make that person go home and you're going to see that army on eBay and you're going to feel good inside. They're going to feel dead and you're going to feel good. But it's rare. Just live in that moment, though. Ah, it's a good moment.
Right. So idolaters, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Death card?
No, not death card. Right. So... The traits that you get, so the battle traits that you get, as well as being Saves to Darkness, is Blessed of Chaos. The Idolaters Priest get to roll a 2+ for their prayers, which is super important on those Chaos War Shrines, which are 3+ normally, so you can do some fun extra stuff. So it just makes them way more reliable, which is good. Tywin, I'm also enjoying Innis Wilson's post on Dark Angels. They're making me laugh loads. The trait, Panoply of Ruin, so that's pressed by Chaos, is Cultists are battle line, and then Colonel Cabbage, hold on to your hats, because this is his least favorite rule, and arguably the fairest. So when they charge, the lowest dice becomes a 6, or any dice if you roll a double. So this was super fun last night. Hey, Dr. D. Wrench, hope you're well. So this was super interesting last night. So a unit of Iron Golems, they rolled a double 1 on the charge. However, they obviously turned one of those 1s into a 6, so it became a 7. And because the Dark Oath War Chief, Dark Oath War Queen had used her command ability, we added an extra 3 inches to that charge. So it was a 10-inch charge on a double 1, which is nice.
11-inch charge, but yeah.
No, there's no, wait, 7, no, 7 plus 3, 10.
Oh, I have 6. Yeah,
they're
okay.
Not Marauders. Yeah.
They're not okay.
Yeah. So that was cool. That was cool. That worked really nice. And it works really well on like loads of units. We're going to talk through those warbands in a minute. But it works.
Do you know
really
how good
well.
It feels to roll like a 10 on a charge? You're like, yes, I'm going places. This is way more than I expected. And then that's your minimal now. Cool. You can't screen against that. There's no screens. You're bobbing and weaving through those lines.
So Sergeant Rolf asks, is it fair that you can't fail a dice roll in a dice game? No. I think that's one of the things Games Workshop doesn't understand, that these sorts of things don't, like, do you ever, like, line up a charge, like, in AOS, and then you're just like, I hope you roll a double 1. You're just like, oh, yeah. in your mind, just hope it's a double 1.
Like, what's Kairos' fate we were doing against that army? Double 1? Oh, I got you, you son of a bitch. No. So could he, I wonder if he, could he turn that 1 into a 6? Could he then, no, you can't change a change, right?
It all depends. So there are some weird interactions. So it all depends if, because he, Kairos determines it as, he doesn't, does he change the dice? He changes the dice, yeah? And if something has been rerolled, then that can't happen. However, like it depends on the situation. GW. Especially thanks to the FAQ, so excellent.
Yeah, thanks for all the rules that just stack so well.
Yeah. Apart from different cases where they're not, like, right now, as far as I understand it, the KO group are going mental about whether or not you can fly high with engine riggers. They're all having a meltdown. I'm not involved in the conversation. I'm like, cool, live your life.
Are you in every chat?
I'm in lots of chats. I'm mainly in the South London Legion chat, because what happens is there's a couple of guys in there who I super trust. They go out and they're like in all these other chats fighting on the front lines. They're like, yes, you can. No, you can't. And then I'm just like, lads, what's the crack? Like, I just,
<'cause>... You just pop in, take notes and ghost
out. It's like, okay, so where are we at? We all hate each other. Okay, good. Right. Yeah. I've got that written down. Excellent. I appreciate you. Rules as written, Planchette, you can't fly high with riggers is the point right now. Maybe. But these guys can have a chat.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Or they won't. Anyway, so that's a cool rule that you can do it. So Colonel Cabbage has pointed out the Borgor's drummer ability used to be +1 to charge for every unit within 12 inches. It was arguably too strong. When the tome came out, they nerfed it to a flat plus one. And then a year later, they dropped the Marauder Charge and plus one in the same unit. So consistency. Anyway, you could take a chariot as your lord, and then he becomes a hero priest. It gets the Eye of the Gods roll, which means you can roll on the Eye of the Gods, which no one ever does, but you should. And then the Idolater Lord keywords.
It's because they don't need to. You can forget rules when other ones are so good. Like, you just, at some point, you're just like, you know what? Whatever. I'm kicking your butt. I don't need these.
What else you get? You also get plus one to wound rolls against enemy priests. Not that that'll come up much, but whatever. And then they've got a weird command ability, Desecrate. You activate in the hero phase. You can pick an idolater's unit that's within 12 inches from an idolater lord and within 3 inches from a terrain feature that's part of the enemy army and roll a dice. If the result is higher than the number of enemy models within 3 inches from the terrain, it's desecrated and loses its abilities for the remainder of the battle, which would be quite cool to do to, like, a Bone Tithe Nexus, for example. Yeah, or something like that. Fun. Now, there's a couple of things. There are no artifacts / relics that are available to the Chariot Lord. You're not allowed to do any of that, so that's out. You do have some command traits. You've got plus two wounds, minus one bravery to enemies within 6. Never choose that. Plus two or minus two to the Eye of the Gods roll. Dayton, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Plus two.
Now you're rolling.
Yeah. Fiery Orator is chant two prayers. You can ban the Bane of the False Gods. You can use the Desecrate command ability once per hero phase without spending any command points. And then Smite the Unbeliever is plus two attacks to each of the general's melee weapons. I probably just go for the plus two wounds.
Yeah.
Would be the important point. The relics are there. They are just stuck at customs.
Plus two attacks, not plus two wounds, but yeah.
Oh, you go for plus two attacks?
Isn't it? Is that what you
said? No, there are two. There's one that's plus two wounds and one that's plus two attacks.
Oh, okay.
I would go for plus two wounds, just because
I would go attacks.
Yeah.
There we go. That's why we have two people on the show.
There you go, right? So there we go.
All the angles.
Yeah, it was really funny when the Iron Jaws book came out. I had two different people on the show, like, talking about Iron Jaws. And one was like, all defense, and someone was like, all attack. I was like,
well, yeah, all attack. All attack guys, right?
Yeah. Right, and then there are some prayers that you get as well, unique to these, that aren't also the prayers that you can access, obviously, via the War Shrine. And they're all kind of okay, but ultimately, Khorne, you can reroll hit rolls until the next hero phase. It's all holy within 12 as well. Zeench, you can reroll save rolls until the next hero phase. Nurgle, you can reroll wound rolls until the next hero phase. Sinesh is reroll charges, and then Undivided... the model heals deal 3. Pick a Khorne idolater's model within 12 inches of 3 plus, you can heal d3 wounds. That's the undivided one. It's an undivided model, right? So that's the kind of stuff. And then I guess the thing to talk about is what's changed since the FAQ.
Nurgle's your go-to, though. Typically you see Nurgle. It's fun to see the other ones, and they're still tough. I played against a Khorne list that was like, what do you mean you're activating first? Plus one to wound. Like, there's some goodness, but it's mostly Nurgle.
Yeah.
You see.
So the big drama, the big drama. Well, the prayers also obviously activate on 2+, so that's really useful as well. But since the FAQ, what's important is cultists. So cultists, which previously in this were battle line, they're now all able to be given marks of chaos, which means that you can put them in battalions, which is cool. And it also means loads of the buffs that previously weren't stacking on these guys are now stacking on these guys. So we'll talk. I just thought we'd talk through the Warcry warbands, which would be super funky. And
yeah, I liked how when GW rolled those out, they didn't do them like they did them for Warcry. So you get like your minimal warband that you need, but they weren't selling. So then they're like, okay, we got to redo this. Let's double them up and let them use them for like Marauders and Slaves of Darkness. And
they Why is no one buying them? Well, it's because maybe loads of people don't play. It's a great game, but maybe loads of people don't play Warcry. They're like, but we've given them Marauders to buy. Why would they not buy Marauders? Well, who knows?
I'm sure they don't relate things to 40K. You know?
What do you mean?
Like for sales and results.
What do you mean?
They got to realize like they have one product that's just... none of the other products they come up with is going to come close to that. like AOS is their second child, right? And look at us. We're kicked to the side. We're like the abusive wives to like a horrible relationship.
Twitch chat.
But we still love it.
Yeah, Twitch chat. Tell me how you feel as, if you are predominantly Age of Sigmar players, let me know how you feel about being predominantly Age of Sigmar players. Do you feel like Games Workshop treat us particularly well as a game system, or do you feel like we are sidelined to some degree, I guess is the real question to ask. Dayton, you feel like we're sidelined? Because
I mean, I like how you set that question up, because you're kind of trying not to laugh.
2021
is lead you. I don't want to lead you with this question, but
2021 Rob is just having a great time. That's all he's doing nowadays. He's not getting down in the mud.
Hey, Bernie memes for days.
Bernie memes for days. Stonks, diamond hands. Like, I'm just here for the jokes, is what I'm here for. Like, if it's all a joke, then it's all brilliant, is how I feel. As an AOS, Torian says, as an AOS, I feel superior, but we are treated much better than Warhammer Fantasy Battle Days. I mean, yes, but you couldn't be treated worse.
Don't relate back. Honestly, I really actually hate that. It's a new company. Like, they're new people. This is their whole new persona. They're supposed to be engaging and bringing us back and everything because of all the F-ups they did before. Don't use that as a reference point. Use what you've seen lately as your reference point, because that's the company you're dealing with now.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, don't like, oh, they were so bad before. They're way better now. No. Like, they've supplied us with good information and updated game, and now they're reverting backwards. Call them on it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It would be like this. It'd be like, oh, like, my girlfriend keeps cheating on me, but like, oh, that's terrible. It's like, yeah, but my last girlfriend cheated on me and hit me. So, like, aren't I doing well? And you're like, no, you're not doing well at all. hopefully my next girlfriend will only steal from me. And then it's just really getting better. Tristan says, he doesn't think it's been looked at in a real way in 2 years. Born Again Manchild says, as a predominantly 40K player, I constantly ask what AOS folks did to piss off mum and dad. AOS is a better game, says Kelbar, but 40k brings in the pounds. I think I agree with that still. Scott B, if you have a friend who dated a horrible person, then date someone all right and they come out with stuff like, they're so nice, they bought me a pizza. That's game search for most of us. Okay, I agree with that. I feel like a 3 bravery squig herder after the FAQ.
Yeah, like, it's like they presented like all these new models and ideas and battle tomes are coming out. Like, let's not forget the New Year's release with the Slaanesh Mortal. Like, that, so good. Those models look so amazing. We're waiting for them, right? We're all hyped up. So they present you, like, they take you to the bedroom. Hmm. They bring out all their toys, and you think you're in for a really good time. And then they just step on your nuts repeatedly. And you're like, I'm not into this. There's no safe word. There's nothing.
Like, I gotta say, though, like, because I was actually thinking about this recently, because I think that's a good point. Because someone has said in the chat is that AOS gets many more new beautiful sculpts than 40K. 40K supports the art of AOS, which I thought was very interesting as a statement. Is the conclusion of this we should all be celibate? Good point, Donald Hedio. Probably not. Not if you're around. You're too gorgeous for me to keep my hands off you. I think my point was this. I don't really see the Slaanesh stuff or even the battle tomes. I see none of that as support. I think we're using our words wrong. What they've done is they're releasing product for us to buy. Support is the FAQ. Those are different. Support, the FAQ is something they don't have to do because it's free. It doesn't cost, like, it costs them money in time and resources, although literally an afternoon from one kid is, I imagine, what it did cost. But it costs them time and resources to achieve. Yeah, and for no real financial reward. Although, arguably, if you move the points around a bit, you probably sell some more product. Different conversation.
Right. Like, I mean, we've always talked about the thing that, okay, it's bad right now, but we have change coming. Like, we adjust to a changing rule system, but you can look forward to it because what you're playing against now is going to potentially change. Like, I know players that deeply get upset about the game state that it's currently in. Like, they don't want to show up. Like, we're talking about those jank lists. There's a lot of jank lists out there right now. Mm-hmm. You can start breaking into a lot of really nasty stuff out there. And if you come in there with a feel good, hey, this is my Night Haunt 240 chain rest army, like, and they just get smashed, you don't want to just show up to tournaments and take your models home. Like, you want to have a good time. And there's a lot of stuff out there that's really beating the people up, but they hang on to it for the simple fact that things are going to change. GW is listening. They're going to make some adjustments. And then when they come up with something that shows little to no effort at all, Like the guy went to the pub, wrote it on a napkin, had like 6 pints, and came in and said, look it, here you go. This is what we're rolling out with. Thank you for giving me the extra month and a half to figure this out.
Yeah, fair points. Fair points. I think the difference between product, which we get, like, so new sculpts and new other stuff, that's product at the end of the day. Like, I don't see it as support because it's stuff that they want us to buy. Like, support is stuff where they're actually looking at the game and trying hard, like, ultimately, to do a better job. So I don't think that is something that happens. As a Beastie Cast and Ogre player, I feel neglected in my own game, let alone within the company as a whole. And I think the FAQ, if done well, would support sales through improving the game. Hail Hydra, I agree. Obviously, that's correct. Yes, they understand. If you did good community engagement, you don't need to. This doesn't need to be the show. That's not the point of the show. If you did good community engagement,
but it's hard. It's really hard to talk anything right now without.
Do you think that's where the game is? Do you feel like lots of people feel that frustration currently?
Yeah, and you're gonna get. Well, yes and no. There's a lot of people that are on the fence of buying models because they wanted to see what the new rules are, but now that the rules haven't changed, they can go with those lists that they've already thought of, right? But I think with tournament play, you're going to get a lot of... Like, if you're trying to bring in new players, oh, God. Like, here you go. Here's 120 skinks. Have fun. What does this army do? You'll find out.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess one of the problems is also... is like the normalization of the action. I think that's another massive problem that we have as a community. So a good example would be the hype that surrounded the launch of Cyberpunk, right? Cyberpunk's yep. released. If you didn't play on a PC, it was a bit janky and fucked. There seemed to be a lot of stuff missing. It didn't seem to be this thing that like got delivered well, ignoring all the hype. And maybe the hype was artificial, whatever the situation. But ultimately... like the release was a bit scuffed, and then they've apologized. They've said we need to do some work to resupport this and fix some stuff, which whatever. Like, not sure if you believe it. With Age of Sigmar 40K, it's like cool. Like I remember Age of Sigmar 2 coming out, and like the whole like they were like, so guys, we're gonna let you do multiple command abilities, and literally the whole community were like, don't let them stack. If you let them stack, it will break the game. Don't let them stack. That's not what you do. Don't do that. Like, months before the game came out, months, and then they were like, here it is, and they're like, all the command abilities can stack. And then everyone in the competitive community were like, taking the
was like the greatest moment. They're like, you know what? We're just going to have fun with this. We're going to bring the jankiest shit and show you in a tournament of what you just wrote. And they're like, oh, God, no. Oh, God. Who is this gits man? Who is this madman doing 240 wounds with one git?
He's in the chat. There he is, that git. Yeah, or Darren, something like 1,000 points. Pete was sending. I don't know if you. The strike drone list was like horrific. If you, we did get a great meme out of it. So I think the normalization of the abuse, if we could call it that, maybe that's heavy-handed. I'm not trying to be heavy-handed, but maybe that's all. Or the normalization.
It's me. You can blame it on me. I'm steering the conversation this way. I'm sorry.
Someone is like, I really wanted to listen to Idolaters. And I'm like, I do want to talk about it. maybe the normalization of it is problematic for me because like, I cared less and less as time has gone on when they fuck stuff up. Because I'm like...
To go back to like the Cyberpunk reference though, yeah. That would be like Cyberpunk now saying... Look at this game is still amazing. I don't understand why the sales are going down. This game is awesome. It's everything it's supposed to be intended for, and they're not doing fixes. Like if you actually look at the Cyberpunk, they've changed a ton, and they're adjusting and they're flying. They're trying to make a good product for you and catch up. They release it too early. Had this been if the game released now, where it's stated, it would be a fine release. I play the game. Like it's still doing well.
Yeah,
but GW is still hyping their game up. And selling us, trying to sell us models, but they've done nothing to fix it.
Yeah, so I got a message this morning about like community points, and I know Simon Hall was like having that conversation about it, and I spoke to another friend yesterday who said he's still quite annoyed, and maybe as a litmus test for the community, maybe I'm not 100% on the pulse in this situation. Maybe more people are frustrated and upset than maybe I think about. Maybe it also just feels like more of the same to me. Like, I expect nothing. Like, I expect Age of Sigmar 3, the launch of Age of Sigmar 3, and I mean this truthfully. I don't mean to be pessimistic. It will be an absolute clusterfuck. Like, they don't understand that, like, look at Idolaters. Like, they had to FAQ it. They're like, they didn't even have, they wrote a book. They were like, Idolaters. And they're like, cool. What about the fact that you can't actually make this guy your general? They're like, oh, no. And they're like, also, you forgot artifacts. They're like, what did we do? Like, and so, I mean, that's not long away from the launch. But the exciting bit for me, exciting, is that right? I don't know, man. I like playing games and, like, and I like the models and I like the story and I like the setting and I love the community and the jokes are pretty fucking fun. Like, if so, like, if they do break it and you could do some dumb shit, it's quite funny. And actually, it's quite funny when you do it and then they're like, they, like, have to FAQ it. Like, it's like, but it's not for new players and it's not, like, down at your local club. I get that. And it's probably not that fun in a tournament setting. So, I don't know. And I'm sorry on a rant now because you really got me into this.
I know, right?
So I got a message earlier about the community points, and I was like, and from someone who was like, I haven't played in a while, actually, because I don't feel like the game's in a great place. And I was like, I don't know if I necessarily feel that, truthfully, but maybe it's not. And then I was like, it was a really fun time doing the community points. Like, it was a really fun time. Like, because there are units in books that never get any look in. Like, they get no look in. And it was really fun. Like, fucking, do you know what are great models that never see the tabletop is Evocators on top of Dracolines.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're fucking beautiful models, like, from, like, a boring range, yeah? They're really pretty, and it would be so cool if they were like, oh, fuck knows, 50 points cheaper. I don't even know what they are now, but I know they're shit. Like, so just make them 50 points cheaper. Do you know what I mean? Maybe not that arbitrary. But it was a fun time, and it would be kind of fun to see what would happen if the community did do the points, right? You know, I don't know.
Instead of the guy, the like, sitting at GW painting 20 eels, and this buddy comes around and goes, you know what, I'm thinking about changing eels. He's like, you probably shouldn't. No, you're right, I probably shouldn't.
yeah, okay, all right. So,
but we love the game. It's super awesome. We love our painting. We love our mates. But yeah, like it's sometimes a little tough. And I know people that are having a really hard time following this game right now. But I think TTS has really helped out a lot because we can throw just random weird armies at each other. And tournament organizers like Owen have been doing great things by showing, like, no, you can't take these armies and you can't take more than, you know, two of this unit and change it up. And we're playing games in a different way than GW intended and we're having fun with it. But tell me, what's the winter FAQ?
I think you're right. I don't know. The conversation about comp is one that's been going on for a long time for Games Workshop's not supporting. And it's an interesting
It's a good time to refresh, though, when they come up with something that's just utter, like, they just shit on our feet.
I mean, it's also because, like, no one has, like, a problem with it, right? So, like, everyone would, like,
a lot of people had a problem with it. And
what I mean is, sorry, no, like, there's not anyone in the world, like, they launch Croak and they're like, Croak's 320 points. And everyone's like, nah, probably making more points. And everyone's like, I think it's like an 80% group of people are like, that's fair. And there's a couple of people who own Croak are like, what? What?
Well, you'll come across those players that are like, no, this is the rules. We pay attention to what GW is giving to us. I'm not listening to anyone else. This is the product they want me to play, so I'm going to play it. And they take all that broken-ass stuff, and this is it. This is the game that they want to play. Right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I was kind of holding back waiting for the FAQ to breathe new life into Piece of Chaos and nothing happened, so I'm kind of at a loss at the minute, but today I'm good because I cast Savage Dominion on Mega Gargant last night. Yes, good work, Colonel Courage. I agree.
The nice thing is the system is so broken with like keywording and things that you can mix in. You get those players, and I'll reference them again, Sam Morgan, like that find the break and bring competitive things from lists that you typically don't see. So there is this huge creative world within Age of Sigmar as opposed to 40K that you can try to find your place. But it's a like a friggin' man, they're playing.
Yeah, but it's like
they're doing their downers, laying in bed and looking at the ceiling and coming up list ideas.
See, it's also like I think about models as well, because this is the thing about like the tabletop game. Like, which is why, like, I absolutely love Like a good example would be Blight Lords are Blight Lords, whatever they're called. The guys, the Blight Kings that are on top of Plague Drones, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like they just aren't as good at all, right?
No, for, and they're amazing models. Like everyone amazing wants models, to see right? them.
But why is there so many people? Like why? Like does why do we as a community like yeah cool a 10-point drop means I'm going to see a billion Blight Kings, but we're not okay with like someone going. Someone going, do you know what? Maybe we should just take 30 points off the guys on a drone. And someone like, you can't do that. That's community comp. It's like, cool. The other community comp is you never fucking see them. Like, the competitive scene is the community comp. Oh, anyway, I could talk about this forever, maybe, but that's fine.
But, like, all their, like, their whatever, there's their end time guys. The Rot Spawn and Demon Spawn or whatever, the twice born guys, like they're heralds. Like there's such a cool, like we're gonna break into that. There's so many cool little ideas within Nurgle, Mega King of Nurgle, and you just don't get to see it. Like a Glock King, people have been trying to make Glock King work forever. And unfortunately, if you want to play Mega King of Nurgle, now you just drop your Blight Kings because you want to show up to a table and you want to win games.
Yeah, Glock King can work if you just give him a disgusting resilience. But like he has disgusting resilience, they're like, no. He doesn't have it. It's like, why not?
Broken.
Why not? Why doesn't he have it? He's look at him. Look at him. They're like, this guy doesn't have a discussion with him. It's like, okay, sure. Anyway, to be fair.
Oh, that FAQ. Up...
Huh?
That FAQ, though. Let me hear.
Okay. All right. I don't know why this has got there. I apologize, everyone.
No, hey, the chat's involved. This is always a subject that's just underlying the surface of our amazing game. And it's so easy to get caught into it because it's the reality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the reality. And like, had I not had that message this morning, and you've obviously brought it up, maybe it's something that I haven't really like put my finger on the pulse of. I mean, I spoke with it already with Vince on Friday, I thought. Like, he seems to be very driven against community combat. I don't see that. The only negative I see with community comp is that not everyone follows it, right? That's the key. And also, like, and that's the other point. Who does it is also a point, right? Who does it? And I feel like, if you guys remember, like, Warhammer Fantasy Battle, like, when they did Age of Sigmar, they were like, cool. They did their own comp for ages. And then when they didn't, all the guys that did the comp system, they were like, we're smarter, we're cleverer, we're going over to 9th edition. And they took it away. And maybe
big
they're
brain
right.
powers right there.
Yeah. And maybe like they were smarter and better and whatever. Like it's a fraught problem, I think. I don't know if it really even exists in any other system. I'm not sure. But a fascinating conversation.
Age of Sigmar is notorious for the community taking over and writing their own rules for it because of the lack of support. And they managed to claw everyone back into Age of Sigmar by writing rules in a new system and feel like they're actually engaged. They gave us an app that was extremely affordable. They gave us the rules for free for everything. Then we could just peruse our little heart's content to. And, the $1.50 or whatever, they've been taking my $1.50 forever. It's been great. It's because they're showing the support. And then you slowly start seeing the abuse start to happen with the app not being updated after the GHB that we don't talk about anymore, but that was a long time where they just ignored everything. And then now with this FAQ again, we're getting, and it's just such a weird concept when we're getting dealt so many cool new models and factions and things to get hyped about, yet they're not supporting what they already have.
Yeah, it's made me quite thoughtful. Okay.
But right. I'm not here to depress you. We're going to play some TTS games at some point.
I'm not depressed because we're going to roll some weird stuff. It's like a challenge, right? Like, it's not depressing. Like, if you're in any sort of realist at all, you can understand that. Like, 36-inch range, it's 30-inch plus 6-inch movement, ignoring line of sight, 5 plus mortal wound bowman is a fucking dumb rule to release. Like, so is the Technado.
They got more bows coming.
Yeah, and so is Technado. Like, I don't know, like, I want the game to be more fun, like has been kind of like my thought process over the past 6 months, I think. You know, I think it's ever since the Mega Gargant release, I've had like this really interesting like kind of like background thought, which I'll let you guys know, is one of the conversations we have a lot is like, this army or these units are meant to be fun, like a Charybdis. Like, oh, I've taken some Charybdis for some fun. They're not fun, they're rubbish. Like, they're rubbish. The Gobblepalooza is fun. Do you know what I mean?
They showed rules to support their ideas, though. Like, look at Knights when they first hit the scene in 40K. Yeah, I want to show up. I don't want to really think about my army. I'm going to win some games and challenge a few people. Like, you always had to, whatever list you wrote, you had to be able to take out those three knights, or else you just weren't going to do well. And it was a cool challenge, and it was a cool aspect that they brought. They were a gatekeeper list that we talk about a lot, but they're not, rarely are they ever going to win. And it was a good idea. That's what we wanted from Sons of Bahamut. We want to be able to show up, drink like a friggin' 12-pack of Wildcat, and roll some dice against cool people and have a good time, and my games are over on turn two or three. But I had, we had fun. We laughed all the way through it. And then when they dropped that, and people were like, I don't know. They missed the mark. They've shown that they could break those rules, yet they haven't shown it for Age of Sigmar, I guess. Like, we can compare. We compare all the time. 40K has actually a decent rule system.
I think Age of Sigmar has a decent rule system. I don't think that's fair. I actually really like Age of Sigmar's core rule system. Its core rule system makes loads of sense. I think actually in fact, I love the core system. I think the core system is maybe even better than 40K's. Like, the secondaries is could have been something very cool, but they've done that quite badly right now, I think.
Auxiliaries.
Yeah, exactly. So the scoring system for Age of Sigmar, I quite enjoy it, and the battle plans really work. It's just the addendums, so it's just the points values of some of the War Scrolls, and then the veracity of the War Scrolls. There's some really great points in the chat I want to read out, actually. One of the key points, though, about fun, sorry, is what I wanted to point out, is I want fun, and I think the Mega Gargants were like my, like, breaking point for when I didn't really think that, like, they're going to do fun anymore or ever. Like, the fun part. Like, I used to do the Skink Starseer game where you and I would pick a dice, and then if you didn't guess my dice number, I would get that many rerolls. Yeah, but if you did, you would get that many rerolls, and I would just always put a dice down and be like, it's a six, and then my opponent would be like, is he lying? And it would always be a six. Always, yeah, right. Like, every single time.
Like that guy, I played him before. It can't be a six again. He did that to me last time. God damn it!
Right, because then I just put all the pressure on my opponent. But it was an incredibly fun rule. Wrathmonger's incredibly fun rule, and the Mega Gargants. As much as the math might average out over time, I wanted those like four or five massive attacks that do like 20 damage or whatever they did.
We were expecting it.
Yeah, because. And I would like them to see if it's meant to be fun. If they're like, we're doing this stuff for fun, I want fun. Like the Rue Riders, I want some sort of like double black backflip rule. Don't know what it would be. You know, you roll X amount of dice and you can go that far, but if you roll a double, you're backflipped into a bush. Make it fun. I don't think. Let me read out some really fun points, good points in the chat. You cannot make changes once or twice a year and those changes be plus minus 10 points and be a valid competitive game from Grinaldi. I think that's super fair. Donaldinho, I don't understand why people don't like community comp, and I think this is an amazingly good point. If you don't like it, don't play it or go to community comp events. If you do, then you can try it. And at the end of the day, the question is, and this is really important, actually, Dayton, I wonder, and maybe a way to round the conversation off, is do you think if the points were better... And if you think the points were better or the War Scrolls were better, do you think it would end up with a better experience as players, generally, I guess is the question.
You're always going to get the cream that rises to the top in every change up. You're always going to start, like Age of Sigmar is notorious for it. You're going to see those things kind of rise up and you're going to get frustrated with it. But I think the fact that it would change would be refreshing to people and give them more hope and have more fun trying to create lists again to do that. Mm-hmm. You're never going to find balance with Age of Sigmar. That's not why we play the game.
But we don't want that.
No, that's what I mean. We don't play the game for balance. Mm-hmm. We play it for the chaos. But yeah, like I try to have a lot of fun with my opponents, and no matter what's going on, I'm having a good time. Owen Jackson got to see it when he was kicking my dick in repeatedly because I'm showing up for the opponent
and
to roll dice against you, right?
Yeah, but sometimes you do turn up because you like to play a game. Different convo, right?
I played games against those people that have just had a horrible time in a tournament, and you're their fourth player and they're just been getting smashed and you could just see it right in the beginning that this person doesn't want to be there. And it makes me feel bad because I don't know how to bring those people around back out of it, right?
Yeah.
And they lose hope. And that's when you see the armies for sale or whatever. But by changing the rule systems, you give those people hope and you bring them back. There's a lot of people that can just endure through it and they find the jank and they have fun with it and that's their game. But the majority of the people want to see rule changing and they want to see a changing gaming environment to give them hope that the next time they show up to a tournament, that they're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to show up and just take their armies home.
They don't. I think that's the important part, which is point of the show, right? Is to give people some clarity on what you could experience, I think. Okay, all right. I'm going to read out these war scrolls for these cultists, and then we can be done for the day. See what you guys think. Or I'll do it on another show. I mean, Hell Hydra said, I don't like community comp because then some guy's playing it over there, some guy's playing it over there. There's different yardsticks. How can Games Workshop ever measure? But when have they ever fucking measured?
Welcome
when
to
have
they Australia, ever used, motherfuckers.
When have they ever used the data to actually balance the game? They never have. They never have, not one time. They don't even understand their own game. And I would literally die on a fire, like on a hill. On that, they don't understand their own game, let alone like know how to balance their own game. Like, so I don't think they listen to data. I don't think they read data. I don't think they look at data. I don't think any of that's true at all in any way. In
the
any
rules writers, they go off. They put their backpacks on. They put all their lunches in. They say, good luck. may the odds ever be in your favor. And they wander off into the forest and they come back in 6 months with their rules. And then that's what they print out. There's no conversation to be had with any of those individuals. They're all on their own. And they're separated from everything that's happened in those 6 months.
Listen, their game might not be data-driven, but this show has been data-driven.
Yeah, they come out with like a beard that's down to their waist, and they're like, okay, I got it.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I've been trying to stay super upbeat. I mean, whatever. Whatever, man. Okay.
Data-driven, that's trendy.
Yeah, data-driven is a clever. I don't think that's entirely fair. I'd support you getting your board and send that side again, though. Appreciate you, Hail Hydra. Appreciate you loads. Yes, Meatballs, hereby Games Rock did use this data this time, but the data only data is Oz New Zealand, so it's completely mental. Is that the problem? Is that they're like, we're not taking that as data? Oh, anyway. It's going to be really funny when they run their own rankings.
Here's a conversation. Why? When the tournaments get really big at CanCon and stuff, mm-hmm. Do you think GW will actually go over there and support them?
CanCon's the largest Age of Sigmar event ever for 3 years running.
But do you see GW going there and supporting them?
No.
Like they do for AOS?
No.
Because I was having some conversations with some Aussies, and that's the kind of the theory that they have is, the next CanCon, GW, it's going to be a GW-sanctioned event, so they're going to have to watch what they bring.
Oh, no, I don't see that, because it's not actually... So CanCon's quite interesting, because it's actually a con, and it's actually just an event run inside the con. So the guy that actually runs the con has loads of different game systems there. So there's obviously Age of Sigmar, there's 40K, but then there are loads of other game systems. There's Malifaux and everything else, and then there's a whole...
LVO's the same way.
Huh?
LVO's the same way.
Not quite. LVO is top-down 40K first, everything else after. Like,
oh, yeah, okay. What they present to you is this is their big game, but there's Malifaux, there's Drop Fleet Commander, there's...
Yeah, but so that's all just as additional, like... So that's all additional tickets through the door so that they can make it large. Like, so if they just tried to run it as a 40K event, for example, right? They would probably now generate enough tables to fill it out as large as they need it. But previously, if you think about it, so what the situation was when the numbers were lower, they needed more game systems, i.e. more bodies. Like, they're over the moon if 18 people... Like, if they've got, like, a TO who's willing to run, like, a Drop Fleet Commander tournament with 18 people and add it into their con, that's great, because what they're doing is they're getting more money through the door to pay for the floor space they need for their large event.
Yep.
Right? So, like, whereas the ITC... Like, the Drop Commander tournament could never happen at Las Vegas, and nor could the other side event or other side event. So actually, all it really is a way of like manipulating like the floor space / money coming in, so they could get the larger floor space for the game that they're most invested in, if that makes sense.
So okay, not... so then take me back to CanCon then.
So CanCon is different because whereas LVO is top-down designed to generate as much 40K, and, the other stuff is just subsidiary cash money. Yeah.
Yep, we'd established that.
CanCon is a convention where any game systems can be in attendance. For example, when Age of Sigmar wasn't a big deal 4 or 5 years ago, CanCon still existed and was still in the same floor space. It just sold the tables out to different people. Whereas in this situation, CanCon, what it does is it has to... So Clint, he has to say, I need 240 tables. And the guy's like, you can only have 220 or 180 or 20. You know, but at some point back in the day, you'd be like, can I have 30 tables? Does that make sense? So it's got very little to do with Clint, how much he's allowed to push into said event, because it's the organizers that decide, and the organizers are interested in getting everyone in there. Am I making sense?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard because I've never been there, and you have, right? So yeah. You have that experience and understanding of how it was different than LVO, because you've been to pretty much all the major events now, right?
Because I've finally never been to Nova.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no one goes to Nova.
Yeah, I don't care about Nova.
I've never heard good things about Nova.
I don't give a fuck about Nova.
And then Mike Brandt's now in charge of things. That's great.
I don't think I would go to... I haven't been to Gen Con either. Honestly, like, the American cons, I'm going to say this now, like, I'm less interested in going because you can't spend time with everyone. I'd be far more interested in going to, like, 3 or 4 little events and spending some, like, do you know what I mean? You just
yeah,
don't
there's,
have...
There's many cons. There's one just down in Spokane for the gamers. Like, Harvester and Storm of Silence are the two big ones he puts on. And he supports them hard. It's like a $5,000, like, prize support and everything. And it's all, like, he puts the store up for a prize support, basically. And it's like 50 people. And we have a blast. And it's one of those things that you just go down and you're seeing the same people. Like, it's those events are just a friggin' awesome time. And if there's a-holes that show up into that environment, they're not lasting two tournaments.
Yeah.
They're ousted real quick.
One of the things for me was ignoring who runs the Adepticon Age of Sigmar event, because fucking awful TO.
Only talk about Big Dick Alex.
Talk about Big Dick Alex. I don't know, like, I think of it like when we were at LGT was a really big event. It had some problems and has had loads of problems in the past, but generally I had a nice time. I was working at it, but I had a lot more fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think 50 to 100 is a great event. Bobo's different as well because it's like some sort of weird cabaret act run by a sociopath. So it's amazing because it's this like... But a
you
good walk
in with
be...
your package. Here's your card and here are your beads. Why am I getting beads? You'll need them. Don't worry about it. The stockings? Are stockings in here too? Oh, wow. I'm gonna turn it back.
I don't know. That's a fun experience. I'm not sure. I think we're at the beginning when events do come back. I think we're at the beginning of understanding what a truly good games con expo could be like. Now, that's without me saying I haven't been to the UK Games Expo as an example. So when that does roll back around next year, that is something I'd like to go to. I'd also like to go over to, like, there's loads of really cool events. I haven't been over to any of the Danish event. I want to go to the German gaming tournament, whatever that one is, the big one. They have a big one every year. I'm super invested in going to that. And there's also a Bay Alliance guys. Those guys, I'd really like to go to their events and see what that's like. The food's meant to be incredible and some other stuff. So I think we're probably... CCBB was brilliant. NashCon was also great as well.
I heard it's a really good time, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks to Artwall 40K Down Under for donating 100 bits to the show. And that's it. That's it. No more talking about... I'm not going to finish the show. Fuck you. I'm not going to read other things. I'm just not going to read it. I'll do a different show on it. I'll do a different show on it, ladies and gentlemen, on my own without data derailing.
Come on, man. Like, this, we don't get to spend time to BS like this.
I think everyone in the chat, great. It seemed like everyone in the chat wanted a chat about it. I don't know.
Conversations go where they need to go, and they go there for a reason. Don't stop it.
And also, no one's actually pushed me on the conversation, which probably someone should push me on the conversation because I've treaded around it as much as possible. I mean, Age of Sigmar 3 is coming out, right?
It's satire for you guys now. After that,
is it though? Like, because it's like
it's a satire for you guys now.
Yeah, but isn't that unfair to people who passionately care about the game?
Yes, definitely. And it needs to be spoken about once in a while. And when a game designer comes out and tweets about this is what we've come up with, and people hit him back with honesty and not like harsh words, the direct messages I didn't get to see, but everything I saw on his post, it was truthful, and it wasn't necessarily attacking him. It was attacking what the product they brought out, and they cry foul and hide behind the community to white knight that stuff. Like that's a BS response. They should have come out. They should be apologizing. Like this should be this is a Cyberpunk 2077. This is we messed up. Please let us gain your support and trust, because that's what. To go back to your example in Cyberpunk, that's what they've been trying to do, and I think they've been doing a pretty good job of coming back to the community. And GW doesn't have any of that flair.
Good point. Yeah, Cyberpunk isn't a good example, says intern Matt, because intern Matt's got some reasons as to why. He's well into it. What we would officially nickname a e-boy. I think that's right. That's mainly based on his trainers, which looked great. They were just too bold for me, if I'm honest, Dayton. It looked like Marty McFly had like jumped into the.
When are we going to see Trump washing cars? That's what I want.
Ziggy says, nice to see him as well. We don't say we messed up, but the most we can hope for is we listen, but not actually going to change. Yeah, interesting. Sad way to push through the show. You got any plans for this week, Dayton? I'm going to try and bring the energy up.
I got school starting tomorrow, so I'm learning new things. That's cool. I'm looking forward to Owen's Titan event, the Mega Gargan event next Sunday. We won't be here for the live show, but we will be.
Mm-hmm.
We will be playing in that, so I'll still be tired and rolling dice in a really cool event because Owen's doing great things, man. He's given me a lot of hype and inspiration for Age of Sigmar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder where we would be with it as a game without. I mean, I think is one of those things. So
where would we be in life without Owen? That's just, not a world I want to live in.
Agreed. I was like, do you know what? He was on the show with Warhammer Weekly, Vince, on Wednesday, and I read a few comments in the YouTube chat that were like, who the fuck is Owen Jackson? I was like, who the fuck are you? And how dare you? Like...
How have you not gotten on that train yet?
I was like, you fucking watch your mouth right now, yeah? Or these comments are getting spicy real quick.
Yeah, he doesn't post a bunch of amazing paintings on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Right, so another thing in the chat, I just want to shout out Zyde Guy, who's been running his own little diet hammer. It's going great. I lost 2.5 kilos and had 20 workouts. So basically, he works out, and everything he loses weight-wise, he gives himself as money to spend on armies.
That's awesome.
Which is great. Yeah. He should be.
You're not getting wrathy. Let me tell you.
Well, listen. I'm no matter what else is happening. I'm still looking forward to Age of Sigmar. Mainly as a pathway loads of like beautiful
Tristan, models. Tristan points out, obviously, he's got his match against Smorgon later on today. Mm-hmm. Owen Jackson inspired. Like, I'm running a tournament. Not well. Don't expect that from me. But I'm running a tournament with a bunch of friends just to roll dice against, because it's good to get back to the why we actually found each other, right? Mm. If we're not playing the game, then, like, I don't know. We got to focus on the good things and the people. And they got a game tonight, and the system's been great. And I still have a ton of love for this man who punches me when I come home from work. I'll still make him dinner. You're right. I probably deserve that.
Right, Twitch chat, you've all been brilliant. I apologize that it's not been what we said as advertised on the show. So and podcast guys, because Scrivo just put it up with whatever the show title was. He won't have listened. So
if you bring Canadians to your show, you're not going to get what you want. I'm sorry.
That's true. Expect Tuesday's adjacent show with me continuously telling Val that the stock market is evil.
Can I talk about that? Like, so he was like super sleep deprived, right? Like, yeah. He was out. He was gone. That was drunk Val. And there's numerous research to show when you are sleep deprived, you are drunk. You will show the exact same things. And if you go into that thinking that, like, Val drank like a 40 of Jack Daniels or something and did a show, that's what you would get.
What, from Tuesday?
Yeah. This Tuesday, and he sobers so up much as the show goes on. It's great. But that first, like, half hour Val, that's super drug Val.
Yeah. I can't wait for him to be emotionally responsive to me just saying diamond hands for a whole hour. Yeah. He'll be like, no, you don't understand about bubbles and shorting stocks. And I'll be like, diamond hands, the stock market's evil. And he'll be like, no.
Looking, oh yeah, no, he can't say no after what they just did on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone that played in that whole realm and understood it, and what they did was just blatantly steal from the public.
Oh yes, that was they did. But talking about stonks and the stonk market, Dayton, can I ask you your two stonks for the week? Interested? Any game system? What are your two stonks? What are you buying? What are you selling?
I contemplated selling my painted Morty, but I love that model so much I don't think I can do it. But now's the time. If you're sitting on Mortys, let that Morty go. Let that Morty be free, because people are buying.
People are buying for big monies on a Morty.
Anything Death Guard, I think. And then I have the old box of Dark Angel stuff that I could probably release and it will get bought. Because the 40K hype is insane. Don't Age of Sigmar, we're not selling Age of Sigmar stuff. It's all 40K.
We're already buying and trading in 40K. We keep it, we're just holding on all of our Age of Sigmar. Okay.
Yeah, I have Deathwing Terminators. I should let them go.
Someone shorted Sylvaneth. I don't think we should do that. I think they're gonna be, God, I think you'll be in trouble.
Reddit, please help Sylvaneth.
Right, Twitch chat, you've been awesome. Dayton, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate you loads. AOS to the moon. That's right. As AOS to the moon. But you're all brilliant. Thank you. Like, if anything from today has made you feel a bit rubbish, like, there's still so much enthusiasm. I'll be doing two days of coverage.
I did try to bring back the positivity.
It's not mix. False positivity either, because, like, no, warts and all, we'll be doing coverage on Saturday and Sunday of Age of Sigmar. And as much as, like, we'll try not to put 40 skinks on or whatever the situation might be, like, that's how the game is, right?
But
we'll
try and make it. You're going to get refreshed. You're going to get refreshed on Sunday. Sunday is your fun laugh, and Saturday is still
fun. That's my point.
Don't get me wrong. It's still going to be great, but that's going to be the state of the game. You're going to see some of the stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have some fun. So next week, and all this week, tournament results
tomorrow.
You're
going to see that. You're going to see that faction, or that that breakdown we just did, that in-depth breakdown.
You're going to see it in action. Also tomorrow, we'll be talking about both Russian and Polish-Swedish tournament results on the Age of Sigmar Monday show. So expect me to pronounce enough names wrong that maybe the small Cold War will start, which will be fun. So look forward to that. So it's going to be sweet. Dayton, you got any shout-outs before we go?
No, I've done my shout-outs. Owen Jackson always gets my shout-out for Sundays. Scrivens, haven't seen you in a while, bud. Hope you're doing well.
Right, you're all brilliant. I want to shout out all you guys, especially the winners. Thanks for subscribing to Honest War Gaming Patreon, or subscribing on Twitch. It means that we can do this all the time, so thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Hope you all look after yourselves and stay well. Have a nice day.